Violence against children has been an ongoing and unfortunate issue happening worldwide in forms of physical and psychological abuse. Children are frequently put through maltreatment that involves physical, emotional, and even sexual abuse, often but not always taking place in the setting of their homes. Other times, they go through an aggressive behavior known to most as bullying, including cyberbullying, that involves social, physical, and psychological harm from one child to another. While violence can be a threat to everyone, children are especially susceptible to victimization because they have fewer rights and insufficient means of protecting themselves. Although the consequences for the abuser may depend on the severity of the violence, the long-term effects on children are often very serious and destructive. Throughout our podcast, we will get a better understanding on how these forms of violent tendencies have an impact on children in our society.
This upcoming poem was written by Dave Pelsler, who is the victim himself, expresses deep feelings about what he had gone through after being continuously abused physically and mentally by his own mother.
Stronger. You hit me, hurt me, beat me black and blue, called me names, wouldn't let me be, degraded and belittled me, till I believed it true, threw me into walls, kicked me around, terrified, frightened me, made me wish I'd die, told me you'd kill me, my body never be found, filled my head with all your lies, I gave you my love and my heart, and tried to believe you change. You took that trust and you tore me apart to suit what you wanted, my life. I rearranged, you destroyed the way I saw myself and others. You made me feel so little and low, made it hard to put my trust in another. How you hurt me, you'll never really know. Despite all this, I'm still here. I'm moving on, taking back my life, claiming it as my own. I'm stronger now, fighting to survive. Now that you're gone, seeing myself better than I've ever known. You tried to take away my faith in life by beating me until I could not see. But I'm here and fighting, happy to be alive, stronger and better, living my life for me.
Adriana was then able to follow up with a few parents who were able to give their opinions regarding the presence of abuse in children and how it affects the child mentally.
So how does child abuse affect a child mentally?
I think it affects them mentally. Like, they have a second guess on people or humans in general. Like, they wouldn't trust anyone, thinking that they'll go through the same thing again with whatever happened to them, and just through everything, like when they get a job, they would, like, you know, just, that's how. I didn't really think about that question, so I could write a whole paper on that.
It affects when they go out in social, emotional, like in public. It affects their lives with other children, because they don't know, like, is that what you're supposed to be doing, or is this not what I'm supposed to be doing? You know what I mean? If you see mom and daddy fighting all the time, or you're getting abused, or you're getting sexually molested, am I supposed to do somebody else like that? Because they really don't know, because they're young.
I think it affects you mentally more than anything. I think it makes you question your self-worth. And it also makes you think about that's the normal way to treat people.
In our expert interview discussion, I was able to speak with Kathleen Dowling and ask her a few questions about her knowledge and opinion as a school psychologist. Good afternoon, Ms. Dowling. My name is Carly Martinez. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Carly.
Hi. So, Ms. Dowling, I would like to start off by asking, what is your name?
It's Kathleen Dowling.
Awesome. Thank you. And Ms. Dowling, I have a couple of questions for you for today. And I would like to start off by asking you what degrees you obtain.
I have a Master's of Science in Counseling with a specialization in school psychology.
Awesome. Thank you. And may I ask, in what school did you receive these degrees?
Cal State Los Angeles.
Perfect. And what are the statistics of children in domestic abuse?
So that I'm not 100% sure of. Domestic abuse would be, you know, partners, you know, husband, wife, whatever, domestic partners abusing each other. Children in domestic violence. I guess you're looking at child abuse, correct?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I see a lot of it. It's common. But in regards to statistics, I'm gonna guess maybe 20%. I don't know.
Okay, that sounds good.
10%.
So probably a little less. Okay, yeah. Awesome. And what does the parents' upbringing have anything to do with the way they treat their children?
I absolutely would say yes. You know, children who have, you know, adults, parents who've experienced violence themselves, who were abused, are much more likely to engage in abuse with their own children, whether it's verbal, physical, or emotional.
Oh, awesome. And how many boys in violent situations do you think are prone to becoming abusive partners?
I would say that they're much more prone to becoming abusive towards their partners. It's hard. It would be hard for me to, I don't know the statistic on that or percentage, but it's going to be higher, much higher than boys who have not been in violent situations.
That makes sense. And how about girls? How many girls in violent situations do you think are prone to becoming abusive victims?
I think it's going to be, you know, similar, you know, much, much higher than, you know, a child who's not been in a violent situation.
Okay. And what are some signs that a child would show if they were suffering from domestic abuse?
You know, there's varying ways kids will show that they've been abused. You know, it ranges from they're acting out aggressively or violently themselves, or they could be extremely withdrawn, or you could see physical signs of abuse, bruises. You would see, you know, that they're very emotional. You know, I would say it ranges, really. You know, there's the physical signs, there's the emotional signs, there's the acting out and aggression as well.
Okay. And what about how many children in violent situations do you think end up committing suicide?
Again, I don't know, but I would say that it's going to be higher than the average population. It's going to be much higher than kids that don't grow up in that. It's very damaging emotionally, you know.
Okay.
When you say violent situations, you know, that kind of, you know, abuse comes in many forms. So whether it's, you know, verbal, emotional, you know, or physical, it has the same effect, you know, on the individual.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. And what about, how are children able to cope with violence?
Unless they're taught the skills, typically they don't know how to cope with it. And if they have a safe person to go to, if they can bond with, you know, their brothers and sisters, if there's someone safe in their life, you know, the non-violent parent or grandparent, you know, I think that they can, they know who to go to. But it, you know, coping skills are things that kids really need to be introduced to. Typically, they don't know how to deal with it, and they'll end up coping in negative ways, which could be acting out violently, or it could be, you know, using drugs and alcohol, escape.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Running away, things like that. Escaping the situation.
Okay, and is domestic abuse more common in impoverished areas than in wealthy ones?
I would say yes, somewhat, although, you know, and I say yes because in impoverished areas there's a higher level of stress, and when there's a higher level of stress, people's, you know, coping skills are, you know, very limited, and there's a much higher, there's a higher usage of drugs and alcohol, which also leads to violence. So impoverished areas create extremely stressful situations, and it's easier for people to, you know, just lose it.
Yeah.
And even in the, you know, higher socioeconomic areas, there's still drug and alcohol abuse, and there's still violence, but I do feel that when there's economic stress, severe, you know, economic stress, that people tend to resort to ways of coping that are very destructive.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible to stop the cycle of violence?
I do think it's possible to help curb it. Knowing the signs, intervening with kids, getting them to therapy when they're in these kinds of situations, teaching them coping skills, that can help curb it. Getting families into therapy. There's always going, there's always going to be violence in society. There's no way to stop it, I don't believe, really. But we can definitely curb it. Helping people, get off drugs and alcohol, helping families that need interventions. I do think drugs and alcohol lead to a much higher level of violence. People who are severely economically stressed tend to get caught up in cycles of violence, and that's those two together.
Yeah. You
know? Economic stress, escapism, using drugs and alcohol, all of that.
Yeah. So it looks like everything goes hand in hand.
It does.
And then, last but not least, I wanted to ask you, what would be one of the most memorable cases you have had?
It was one of the first kids I ever worked with. He was a foster child. He was taken away from his mother, and he was placed in foster care with, I think, might have been one of his siblings. And while in foster care, he was abused. He was abused for, if he wet the bed, that foster mothers wouldn't feed him. They were apparently very emotionally and physically abusive towards him. When his mother got custody of him again, she'd had a couple other children. So when he came back into his home with his mother, there were some, younger, I think there was an infant in the home. And when he was only 3 years old, and when he went back home, at the IEP meeting, when I met with the mother, she had told me that he had been trying to smother his infant brother with a pillow. She caught him, really trying to suffocate him several times, and that he was hiding knives under his bed. And I wonder to this day what happened to him, but it was very, very tragic.
Oh my gosh, that does sound very traumatizing. Well, Ms. Darling, I really want to thank you for taking your time to do this these questions for us. I hope you have a wonderful day, and hope to see you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thanks. Daniela was able to speak with elementary school teachers to get an insight on how they believe violence mentally affects children.
How do you think violence mentally affects children? I feel that children who are in abusive cases often experience an inability to bond and form secure attachments.
Children who are exposed to violence in the home often have difficulty with having or maintaining positive relationships. Trust and respect are challenging. They often exhibit a regression in development. For example, they may begin wetting the bed or have delayed speech or learning. It is also difficult for them to maintain focus.
In my opinion, I believe children who grow up in violent homes are bound to have the same violent outbursts that are projected at home. So, for example, if a male child can grow up to become abusive if he sees his father act the same way, and the female child can grow up to become the one who's abused.
Children exposed to domestic violence are likely to develop behavioral problems, such as regressing, exhibiting out-of-control behavior, and imitating behaviors. I also believe children may think that violence is an acceptable behavior of intimate relationships and become either abused or become the abuser.
So one of the ways that I think that you can look at this is just through the way that the CDC explains it through the Adverse Childhood Experiences Scale, known as ACEs. And we know that experiencing this can have a lifelong impact, not only for sort of your social growth, but also for your physical well-being.
For our narrative interview, Adriana was able to locate an individual who was a victim of child abuse and was willing to share her story.
How does child abuse or any other type of abuse tie into your life?
Well, I only recently got away from a bad situation, child abuse, and kind of mental and psychological abuse. So, as much as people want to say that your past doesn't affect your future, it does have an effect on your present. So, going through what I did when I was younger has a really big impact on how I am today, how I act today, and the things that drive me.
What type of things did you go through?
I lived with a mother who was either on drugs or drinking most of my life. So I did experience physical abuse and a lot of like emotional abuse for the most part. Do you want to go into that too?
If you want to, if you're comfortable.
Like I said, I don't remember. It did happen a lot more when I was younger. So my older brother told me a story one time about my mother. We were in like kind of like a halfway house apartment, and I had been a baby at the time, maybe like one or two, and she was getting high and I was crying because babies cry, and I wouldn't shut up, so she held me by my neck until I stopped crying so she can get high.
So what do you think led up to these, like, events or this experience?
For me or for her?
For you. Like, why do you think she treated you that way?
I think that the drugs and the alcohol were a big effect on it, but one thing I learned is that not everyone is fit to be a parent, and I don't think she never was.
How did that make you feel, knowing that she treated you that way, or the what you went through? Like, how did it make you feel at the time and now?
It was a lot easier when I was younger, when I was going through it, just because, like, I had anger that fueled me at the time. Like, I did everything I could to fight back, and it was kind of like, I was surviving in the time, so I wasn't really focused about how I felt or how it affected me. But thinking about it now, it does hurt. It hurts a lot knowing that, like, the person you're supposed to trust the most in life, the people that are supposed to protect you, didn't. And that maybe you don't have that kind of security in life that other people would.
So after, like, experience that, like, what happened next? Like, how did the abuse come to an end?
That abuse came to an end about, I think, not even a week after my 15th birthday. I had come back to live with my mother after staying with my brother for about 6 months in San Diego. And when I returned, things just went back to the same way it had always been. The physical abuse, the emotional abuse, it was constant fighting. And I didn't want that again for another birthday. So me and with the help of some of my family members, I got in contact with CPS and I finally had that courage to do that. And I was eventually taken out of her custody and sent to live with an older brother in another state.
And how do you feel about that, like being gone or separated from her, like being out of that situation?
I think right now that it hurts. It does. It's hard to know that, like, you can't be with family, even if they aren't the best family, and you still can't be with them. And the fact that they don't want you is a little... I think that, for me, it was one of the best things that I could have done just to make sure that, like, I was going to be okay. That I knew that it was going to be a better situation for me.
How do you think that experience affected you, like, mentally? You think it had a positive or a negative effect?
The leaving or the abuse?
First, the abuse.
It has had a really big impact on me mentally, just because I have trouble with emotions and I have trouble with, like, not society, but, like, social cues, if that makes any sense. It impacted my school life a lot. It did have a good impact on my school, just because, like, never wanting to be home drove me to want to be at school more and to want to do better. But mentally, it put safeguards up to where I didn't want to trust people, and it made it hard for me to get close to people when I was more afraid of people than I was, and I was afraid of getting hurt than I was wanting to connect to people.
How do you think it affected you mentally when you finally got out of it and you left your mom?
I think it did do me better, but it still took a long time for me to feel safe in an environment and to feel wanted, if that makes any sense. I still do struggle with emotions. I still do struggle with learning to trust people, and I think that it still has an effect on me, but I am still learning to kind of motivate myself to want to do better.
How do you think it'll affect, like, your future, like, being, like, later on being a parent yourself? Like, do you think that that experience will like hinder you being a parent? Or do you think that you've learned from the situation?
I think that, well, there are a lot of statistics that show that kids from an abusive environment turn out to be abusive parents. And I honestly don't think that's true. That as much as I may be genetically prone to being abusive, that I've learned so much from seeing a parent who isn't fit, who is abusive, who could never take care of a child. And I honestly don't think that I could ever be that cruel to a child. As much as it affects me with insecurities and, like, mentally, I think that I wouldn't be able to have the drive that I do if I didn't have that, my background. And I think that having my background, as much as it, as painful as it has been, it drives me to do the things that I want to do, to be able to help more people, to be able to learn how to help more people. And I think that with my background, with my experience, it helps me even more, because I know what these kids are going through, and I know what they might go through. And that's, I'm not saying it's the same, but I know that somewhere, even some background knowledge is a starting place for them.
But for the record, can you state your name and your age?
My name is Sadie Raylene Recamonte, and I'm 17 years old.
With permission from their parents, I was able to catch up with young children and ask them how they think it might feel to be bullied.
Okay. If someone was bullied, I bet you they'd be scared, because, like, you're just getting picked on and they're telling you mean, hurtful words, and I know it hurts. So I feel bad for the people that got bullied. If they get, like, just getting picked on, constantly, you don't know how people feel at home.
Well, when you get bullied, it's like, there's different stages, physical, mentally, and some people, they get hurt off of bullying. There's depression, which they hurt themselves or kill themselves, and yeah.
How do you think it feels to be bullied? I think it feels like people will probably feel depressed and want to stop going to school. Probably makes them feel sad, makes them feel depressed and stuff like that, like suicidal, make them feel bad, start cutting themselves and stuff like that.
To be bullied feels lonely, or like you're the only person in the room when everybody else is there, and like you have nobody to talk to or turn to.
Well, I think it feels like to be bullied is that you're hurting other people, and that makes you feel sad and wants to go make you kill yourself and stuff. But other stuff like that, when you get bullied, it's just thoughts in your head, nothing like really bad. They're just saying that because they think bad about themselves, so they try to take their actions out on other people.
I wouldn't like to be bullied. It would hurt my feelings a lot, which could lead to depression, anxiety, and I wouldn't want that from the state that I'm in, and it could make me want to kill myself, and I wouldn't really want that. So in the case of I've been bullied, I would go to a teacher or any adult or my own parents. I would tell them. So yeah.
Next is a poem read by a young child that gives us an insight on the effect that violence against children has on a child's self-esteem.
I stand alone staring into the mirror, blood rushing down my face. I'm a very bad boy. I disobeyed mommy's rules. I laughed and played with all the good boys. I'm a very bad boy. home from school, I've tried not to embarrass the family again. Mommy has an odd look in her eye. I'm a very bad boy. Mommy tells me to take off my clothes and stand by the stove. Then she lays me on top of it. I feel myself burning. I'm a very bad boy. She watches as I burn, no emotion in her eyes. Only a few minutes till my brother gets home. I'm a very bad boy. My brother gets home and I escape my terrible fate. In the garage, I hear her words sweetly said to my brother. I'm a very bad boy. Mommy takes me into her room and screams at me that she got a letter from Santa saying I'm a very bad boy. I will get no gifts this Christmas. I'm a very bad boy. The nurse looks at the bruises with care and hugs me. I want to never let go. I'm a very bad boy.
In a different sense, Wan Tin was able to approach college-level students and follow up the question on how they think it might feel to be bullied.
So how do you think it feels to be bullied?
I think it must feel really awful and hopeless because you don't know who to turn to or what you've done wrong to deserve it.
I'm sure it leads to severe issues as children go through adulthood. Some of these can relate to depression, anxiety, PTSD, and the worst case, suicide. And you know, it's sad to hear about these type of cases because it's something that can be preventable through outside help.
It is a sickening feeling of helplessness. As a kid, I was bullied for being Latino and not being able to speak English. It later led to a lot of hate and anger.
It feels awful. It makes you feel isolated, and it makes you feel like your life isn't worth continuing anymore, and it also makes you think that there's something wrong with you.
I believe being bullied is definitely not good. It makes you feel bad in many ways, depending on how they bully you. Like, if they bully you every day, it will have a toll in your life and how you view or think about yourself.
Hello, everybody. I am Adriana Trevino, and I am here with
Daniela Munoz
and Carly Martinez.
And we are here going to be analyzing our podcast in a whole, starting with the expert interview with Kathleen Dowling. She is a school psychologist. And has an experience with many children dealing with child abuse. So in her interview, the first fallacy that we found was in a false analogy, and she states parents who've experienced violence themselves and were abused are much more likely to engage in abuse with their own children. So in that statement, she is falsely comparing parents, because not all parents who are abused are going to abuse their children. And then she also gives a couple of bias opinions. One is a gender bias, which she said more boys are more prone to becoming abusive toward their partners when they are abused themselves. And again, that's gender, because girls also can be an abuser in a relationship, not just boys or men. And then another bias would be a socioeconomic bias. In that statement, she states impoverished areas have a higher level of stress, and when there is higher levels of stress, people coping skills are very limited, and have a higher use of drugs and alcohol, which leads to violence. So again, not all abuse and stress inside, like, lower income type areas will lead to violence.
I think the gender bias was interesting because as this whole society, everyone usually would think that obviously a boy or male is most likely to become the abuser than a woman, because women are often seen as weak. And I feel like that fits very well with the bias. It fits very well with your... In our narrative interview, I noticed a handful of pathos statements from our narrative statement from... it says, when our... She states people want to say that your past doesn't affect your future, but it does have an effect on your presence. I found that very fully loaded with pathos, because not only is she giving an emotional story about her experience in regards to violence, but it, to me, it evoked a really long feeling of sadness for her, and I kind of give her, you know, sympathy. I get a sense of sympathy for her, because I'm sure she was put through a lot, and she made me feel that way through her sense of pathos.
Also, it would be a fallacy, because she's playing on emotion. So she gives a statement that all people think that, you know, that it doesn't have an effect on the present. So she's giving, like, her side of the argument, but again, it's playing on emotions of her story and not, you know, evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So she commits a
touch on the word on the street that we came up with. It also is very full of pathos, which is our Aristotelian uphill. It's not necessarily backed up by any data specifically, except for one. I did come across respondent number 3. They gave examples from the ACES, which is the Adverse Childhood Experiences Skills. That one was really good, I thought. Also, a lot of our word on the streets were just self-experience. So everybody was very touching. They gave us very brief descriptions about bullying. The kids were very good about talking about that. But most of them were more, think of like an confirmation bias. They seemed to know, like, bullying wasn't good. They thought everybody that in the end.
Mm-hmm. And in regards to our poems, both poems, they, you know, mainly were focusing on the appeal of pathos again. They gave vivid description, kind of like a story, pretty much, of what it kind of is to be in a situation where a child is being victimized.
It's getting more and more common every day.
So this is our critical analysis of our podcast and how child abuse in the home and in life general has, mm-hmm. you know, a mental effect on the child life, whether it's major or small, but it does leave you know, some type of mental scar.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
After discussing with our expert, teachers, parents, students, and someone whose life has been affected by these violent tendencies, we were able to get a better understanding on this issue. We can ultimately see how violence against children can have a profound effect on their development. The physical and psychological abuse plays a big role on how children will act and think as they are coming about their lives. Some of these effects may include having difficulty forming relationships, fear of trusting others, and cause severe low self-esteem.